lot of folks are not delivering those dividends that they promised, those yields they promised, but people are still making something because when it sold, it did appreciate. So now you can wipe away all sins and people are making money on the actual sale because the investment itself has appreciated over time, even though it was poorly operated. But those times have come and those times have gone. Now operators do have to step forward. You got to be a much better operator in between the lines, the day-to-day operations.
This is Eat, Sleep, Invest, the marketing podcast for real estate investors to get more deals.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Eat, Sleep, and Invest. I'm your host, Brian Driscoll, and I'm here with Brian Chavis. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Brian with the Y. You don't see that often.
No, you don't.
Yep. Hey, well, thanks for coming on, man. Brian, give everybody a little background on how you got into real estate and how you got to like where you are now.
Yeah, so how I got in, my first career was playing basketball. So when that kind of ended, you know, I was hanging around in Lakeland, Florida, and my pops was like, listen, man, you're not playing anymore. No one picks you up. The phone doesn't ring. You got to find a job. And so you can't hang out in these streets. And so, you know, I made up a resume, lied from, I think the only true part of my resume was my name and my birthday. And I just went to the unemployment office and started faxing. You go to the, back then you go to Eckerd Drugs or like it's a Walgreens now, right? CVS and Walgreens.
How old are you?
51.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So yeah, faxes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'm aging myself. So yeah, for you viewers don't know what a fax machine is, just Google it and look it up. But anyway, so I go into a drugstore, which is known as CVS now, Walgreens nowadays. You walk in, I grab these little books. Back then they had books. There was no internet. You had these books that showed all the apartment communities in the, you know, like in the Central Florida area, their numbers and their, it's for people looking for rental property. It's how you did it back then before the internet. So I just faxed them all my resume and got those, you know, and I was looking for a place to live, where I can work and live because my car used to have to jump start it, you know, pop the clutch. It really didn't run good, so I really wanted to try to find a gig where I could live and work, and this leasing agent type of gig sounded really good. So, you know, 2 decades ago, I got my start leasing apartments and then just kind of worked my way all the way up into management acquisition specialist. Then I started teaching for the National Apartment Association training courses. So I taught, you know, pretty much every module in the CAM, Certified Apartment Manager course. And just really fell in love with the academic side. And then, you know, one day decided that I would, you know, strike out on my own and do this on my own. And that kind of got started. And then I was selling this manual out of the back of my car for about $200, teaching investors how to manage and operate their property. Because, you know, people weren't managing. You know, I'm used to managing 2,000 units. Remember, you know, large communities. And people were struggling with single family homes and pulling their hair out. I'm like, why are you struggling? You got to systemize it. So I wrote this manual. Long story short, that manual ended up becoming a Simon Schuster best-selling book, one of only 5 books in the U.S. Library of Congress on the subjects of property management and real estate investing. And so, yeah, you can today walk into any bookstore and walk to the real estate section and find me, Buy It, Rent It, Profit. And The Landlord Entrepreneur are the 2 books that I published through Simon Schuster there.
But solid. How'd you get published with Simon Schuster? Like, there is
a publishing
house.
So, baseball, spring training, Tampa, Florida, Yankees, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez buying up a bunch of apartments, right? One of the teammates wanted to know what the heck that was all about. I was working with an athlete, a boxer at the time, Winky Wright. Winky was really big in the height of his power. He was, I think, just fighting Tito Trinidad at the time, just rising to power. He had a friend named Gary Sheffield. Gary Sheffield wanted to know about apartments and what this was and kind of. So, you know, I spent kind of like spring training, just, you know, he's driving around looking at apartment buildings to buy. So I'm teaching and educating him on the process. And his phone rings. And he was talking with someone else and just asked me to take the phone. So I grabbed the phone and said, hey, just tell the dude, just hold on. It's important. But I'll call someone. Hey, yeah, you know, Gary wants you to hold on. And so the guy's just like, well, you know, who are you? I'm like, you know, I'm so-and-so. We're riding around looking for apartments. And he's like, oh, you do real estate? Yeah. You know, he's like, and I don't know how he asked me, but he, you know, obviously he's a book agent. It was his book agent. He wrote a book called Inside Power. So it was his book agent, David Vigliano, Vigliano and Associates. And so David got to the point of asking me, well, you know, Did you write anything? Or do you have? Yeah, I wrote a book. I sell it out of the trunk of my car. And he says, well, how much do you charge for? I said, $200. And he's like, he just goes real silent. He says, you're literally selling $200. I said, he's like, how many do you sell? I said, I sell a lot. I said, I make print 20. And I sell all 20 like at a real estate convention that I go to, or RIA that I go to every week. And I was like, I sell out. And I was like, you know, how many I print, I sell out. For $200. I said, yeah, man, $200. He said, can you send me a manuscript? Can you send me the manual? I said, yeah. So I, you know, overnight it. I fly to Vegas to watch the fight a couple of weeks later, a month later. I forget all about it. And get a call while I'm in Vegas. The day after the fight, I'm hanging out at the pool, having breakfast, you know, by myself at the pool, because it's early, because, you know, I'm still on Eastern time, so I'm early. So I'm having breakfast, and phone rings, and it's David Viviano. He said, hey, listen, you know, when can you get to New York? I said, well, when do you want to see me? He said, yesterday. So they send me a red eye. I jump on it from L.A. and go directly to New York and, you know, come back to Tampa, go back to New York probably a week or so after. And, you know, then I ended up signing a book deal with Simon Schuster. You know, they were like, listen, we're going to, you know, I was supposed to see like 10 other publishers. And I knew nothing about this. I had this guy representing me that looked like he was fresh out of high school. And so I'm doing a lot of the talking. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm just, you know, I'm making stuff up, like, oh, numbers. And then, well, you know, what do you sell? And, you know, I'm like, so I'm just hustling. And we go from publisher to publisher. Then we finally get to Simon & Schuster. And they were like, listen, how many more, you know, we had a hard stop. And they were like, we passed that hard stop. And they were like, listen, let's just keep going. Whatever, everyone else is irrelevant, we're going to sign you. It's just a matter of, you know, how we want to negotiate it. And I was like, well, I don't know who Simon & Schuster is from a can of paint. So I'm like, you know, I've got to go to these other meetings out of respect. I can't just cancel. My agent was like, you know, yeah, I think we should go to these other meetings. And they were like, nah, I don't think you should. I think, you know, whatever they offer you, we're gonna double it. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna sit back down. I'm like, well, I'm listening. And long story short, you know, we ended up signing with Simon & Schuster, and that's how it all kind of, you know, got started, man. So, you know, it was a blessing, man. Right place, right time. But it's also about a story about just being prepared, because you never know when you get that call, literally. And it's just, you know, selling it out of the trunk of the car, you know. And I barely graduated high school. And you're talking to a person that most people said I was stupid, that I would never, you know, that this wouldn't work. And, you know, but it's just, you know, it's about filling a need. And, you know, and I'm doing that to this very day, finding needs and filling those voids. And, you know, so, yeah, man, it's been a huge blessing.
I respect that, man. Hustle. Like, hustle makes you lucky. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, you're lucky. It's like, no, you hustle really hard, and eventually you're going to get lucky because you're just out there all the time.
Funny thing about that luck, you know, that luck sure seems to find the willing participant that's willing to get out there and sell a manual out of the trunk of their car, you know, so, and you know, get up early. You know, I had a full-time job. I'm managing 2,000 units at this time, brother. You know, that's full time. And so, you know, it's, yeah, it was a hustle, but it was well worth it. It led me on to my path, and, you know, led me to where it, honestly, if I hadn't gotten in the industry and I hadn't been introduced to real estate investing, and really, I won't say investing, I'll be more specific for your audience. If I hadn't got introduced to owning and operating rental property, you know, when I was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2012, how would I have ever have been able to come back? And, you know, and do what I've been able to do. It's one is the credit of God. I give all God, you know, give all, you know, credit to God. But, you know, also the ability to be able to start over from scratch and build a business is, you know, a lot of that is the knowledge. You know, I might have, you know, lost my ability to walk and talk, but yeah, you know, I didn't lose the knowledge that I learned in this industry. And that's why I feel like it's so important that people understand, if you're going to get involved with real estate investing, that you understand the fundamentals, because it was the fundamentals. It's the fundamentals then and now that carry me through and deliver me. And it's the fundamentals that you're going to be able to pass on to your kids. And it goes way more, Brian, than just the acquisition phase. Everybody teaching, this is how you buy property. This is how you raise money. This is how you acquire property. Look where that's getting a lot of folks right now, because now when the interest rates are up and they don't understand how to operate property, they don't understand. it's you know, they can't maneuver. There's a lot of people that have made a ton of mistakes, and those, you know, they're stepping all over these landmines because they lost sight of the fundamentals. Acquisition is only what they teach. That's only there's five key phases to investing in rental property. There's the acquisition phase. There's the implementation, stabilization, growth, and exit strategy. You got to navigate all five phases. You can't just know about the acquisition phase and not know about about implementation. Implementation is implementing the management plan, implementing the operating systems that the property runs on Monday through Sunday. The management plan is 50-50. It's 50 part operations, 50% budget. So, you know, it dictates how we operate those properties. And every management plan for every property is different because every tenant demographic and psychographic is different. So every prospect tenant from property to property is different. So the management, the lease, what we have in the rules and regulations, the qualifying criteria, the way we operate that, all of that slightly changes depending on where the property is located. So if you lose sight of these fundamentals and you're just all about the acquisition and raising money and acquiring and being the GP and, you know, and I'll pop a property manager in there without knowing about management, you know, yourself, you need to know as much about property management, if not more, when you hire out a second party, third party property management company.
Yeah, you have to know how to manage your own stuff to have someone else do it. Anything in business, you kind of got to do yourself first, right?
Yeah, but look, but ask yourself, seriously, it's funny you say that, and we say it like it's duh, but ask yourself how many of these daggone boot camps that you might have even attended, that's what they're teaching. You know good and well, if we're just to be honest and level out with your audience here, you know, I'm telling the truth. 95% of these cats are, you know, that's not what's taught. It's give it to a property manager. They skim over anything operational because, you know, fundamentally they don't understand it.
And really don't care.
Or don't care, but you can't shortcut that when it comes to, you know, to multifamily. And then the next question your audience will ask is, well, Brian, a lot of people are successful. My cousin, you know, Frank is an attorney and he did an apartment. Are they successful? Or is the model successful? Is real estate appreciating? And there's real estate hiding a lot of mistakes. And you can hide more dead bodies with more critical mass. So if you're buying an apartment building, you got 50, 80, 100 units, you can make a lot of mistakes that you can hide, you know, versus the single family operator where it's a break-even ratio. So a lot of folks are benefiting from the economies of scale that are buying these properties looking like experts, you know, but they're not, a lot of folks are not delivering those dividends that they promised, those yields they promised, but people are still making something because when it sold, it did appreciate. So now you can wipe away all sins and people are making money on the actual sale because the investment itself has appreciated over time, even though it was poorly operated, you know, even though it was poorly operated. But those times have come and those times have gone. Now, you know, with the rates the way they are and the margins so much thinner, now operators do have to step forward. Operators have to, you got to be a much better operator in between the lines. The day-to-day operations, you know, cannot be looked over anymore.
Right, 100%. Okay, so let me put this into perspective. So when you started pushing out your applications, what year are we talking?
Oh, God. So...
Ballpark.
Mid-90s. Mid-90s.
Okay. And did you get a job where you were able to live there in property management?
Oh, yeah. I landed it. Right. Listen,
mid-90s.
I hustled when I had my nice little suit on. I used to sweat half to death in it. A little sports coat, a little tie, and oh yeah, I landed a leasing agent job, man. I was leasing apartments like you would pop M&Ms. It was you know, that was second nature to me. So yeah, I landed a job, got an apartment, and got into the industry. And you know, a person took me under their wing and taught me, you know, about the CAM course. They were paying like $140 to teach each module, and people wouldn't show up. Maintenance guys wouldn't show up, so I teach maintenance. You know, the attorney wouldn't show up, so I teach landlord-tenant law. You know, asset manager wouldn't show up, so I teach the asset manager section. So I would teach the whole entire, you know, manual when I was only supposed to teach the management side, the property management side, or the leasing side. But yeah, you know, that kind of molded me and shaped me to where I am today.
Nice. Okay, so you did that. You grew in the business just by school hard knocks, basically. Then you said, what, in 2012, you had a brain tumor.
So yeah, things were going good. The book was published in 2009. That whole story with Gary, and the publishing and flying out there and negotiating with Simon Schuster. 2009, it was the first draft was introduced. And as it started really picking up traction in 2012, because remember, we went through that real estate crisis. So things kind of leveled off, and then things started picking back up again. People with, access to cash started picking up property. Things started picking up. So 2012, the book was really doing well. And then, Christmas Eve, I have the seizure. And, things would at that point would have never been the same. Things changed on Christmas Eve that day. And I had a seizure and found out that I had a tumor. And unfortunately, it was on my motor cortex. And so, there's pictures and videos that I sometimes post on social media where I'm awake while they're taking it out. But I didn't have medical insurance. So, Brian, that was the kicker. So I had to sell a lot of my interest in property management companies and things that I had to pay for a lot of what I went through, the surgeries and the chemo. That was $10,000 a dose. So, 2012 and then 2014, finally, I had to live with it in my head for a few years because no one would touch it because of where it was located on the motor cortex. And so I still had to get out there and try to speak and teach classes and do what I needed to do to bring income in, even though I was having seizures in the morning time before, and being totally wiped out and have to be on my feet for 8 hours teaching these certification classes.
That's got to mess you up in the head, too, because now you know, and it's still in there.
Oh, man. You don't know. Man, we can spend a whole 3 episodes on just... being wiped out, being the financial aspect, obviously, weighs. The tumor, and it's not like the tumor just sat in your body. This tumor caused seizures. The seizures were painful. They would pull my whole face to the side. My whole left-hand side would be like catching a charley horse. They were very painful. And then when they were done, it was like someone had rang your bell, like literally knocked you upside the head really hard. And you just came out and you're dazed like a boxer. That was the feeling, so I had to function while dealing with all that. I was taking enough Keppra, which is anti-seizure medicine, to actually stabilize a horse. So you're dealing with that. You're dealing with your life and death. You got one foot in the grave, the other on the banana peel. So you're always, every day is life and death. Every day is that whole, it hangs over you, Yeah. So then when you do finally recover, you step into an industry that you no longer recognize, that you were poised to be one of the leaders, right? Your book is coming out. And this is before, like I said, you can self-publish. And so being published was really up there. It was like, how we look at some of these gurus and experts nowadays with TV shows and things of that nature. So that was where I was and poised to take advantage of that. There are too many people who look like me with the credibility and the level that I do it. And facts are facts. You go to the bookstore and any of your viewers and listeners, go to the bookstore and go into the real estate section, find all the real estate books and flip them over and tell me if I'm wrong. You don't see me on every bookshelf.
Well, that's what we were saying even before this call. Like, everyone knows, I wrote a small manual for our clients and stuff called Crush the Call, and I self-published it. Took an hour. I tossed it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, I know who Simon Schuster is. Like, that's it. I don't know really any. Like, I don't know many investors that are published by them. So that's a pretty big deal. They're writing like Ben Franklin's bio. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they do.
They're owned by CBS. You know what I mean? So, it's like, when you walk into the airport, you see your books, and you walk into bookstores and Barnes and Nobles and all the books, So that's what you're poised, right? You're really excited. You're a unicorn. And that's what Simon Schuster's like. There's nobody that looks like you. We're going to gamble on you. You're selling a book for $200. We like those numbers. So we're gonna take a gamble. So all those things were really lined up. And then you get taken out of the game. Like, I can see. If it were due to a mistake, a lot of investors have these great stories. A lot of these motivators have these great stories where, they made a mistake. They made a bad call and they were wiped out and they had to start over. How do you reconcile and how do you deal with it not being your fault? And then living and having to start over from scratch and watching everybody be successful. Everybody come up. Like, I came up with a guy named Andrew Wright, who owns Franklin Street. okay, commercial. He's purchased half of West Shore. He's bought the Sundial in downtown St. Pete. This guy is like killing it. We started together. I was a little further ahead of him. And now he owns, you know, I can't drive down some of the main strips in Tampa, Florida without one of his buildings or hotels or, you know, shopping centers or whatever. You know, it's like, so you're seeing that and you're coming back in, you're coming now 5 steps behind, you know, and it's like I say, it's not even a self-inflicted wound. This is, you're taken out of the game, you know, due to no mistake that you made. And so that was tough to reconcile and figure out how to balance that and how to balance and you know, continue your faith. And, you know, if you want to talk about a strain on a relationship with faith and God and all those various things, it's like it's, I'm dealing with all those things, you know, but thank God for my lovely wife and then my fiance, now wife. And, I don't wish it on anyone, Brian. I would never wish it on anyone. I could only hope that sharing the story and understanding what perseverance looks like, because it was tough. Like I listen to stories and I hear people, hey, you know, I was homeless and or I was a drug addict, and I respect all those stories. Everybody's a battle is a battle. But right. It's like, man, I would have taken any of those damn stories. You know, I'd have taken some of them challenges 7 days a week, twice on Sunday, you know, versus, you know, what I had to deal with. And so, and still today, you know, it's having to deal with.
I'm just hearing this. I'm thinking it's like all this stuff you had to go through. I'm just picturing, dude, you got to be a rock. Like,
I don't know.
Going through this stuff, man, you got to be a rock.
You know, you got to have faith. You have to have a great support system. And man, I'll be honest with you, Brian, my faith was, it's tested. I mean, you can't go through something like that and not question and not be angry. And that was the rough part is that, you know, I know we're in the mastermind together, and I was telling Matt about it, that, you know, for years, even just until very recent, the bitterness and the anger and the chip on my shoulder that I carry because of that is, and learning how to lay that down, let that go. That just, yeah, that didn't, you know, you know, being called a rock, I don't know how much of a rock, because I was angry, brother. I was, you know, like I was literally angry at a lot. And at anything that I could possibly blame, or it just, you know what I mean? So it's a heavy burden to be able to lay that rock down and be like, hey, listen, you know, I'm still going to be a man of faith and I'm still here. And, you know, and to try to find your story in that and try to find your reason, you know, for having gone through some of that. And, you know, I can't say I've 100% gotten all those answers, but I've gotten a lot of them. And, you know, I'm blessed. I've got a wonderful family, 2 wonderful kids. I'm not where I wanted to be, but I am where I'm at, where I am. And I'm happy and I'm blessed to be there. So, and the thing is with real estate and, you know, bringing it back to these fundamentals, man, is like, yeah, you can destroy me. You say a rock.
Yeah, let me clarify when I say a rock too. I'm thinking it's like more, it should actually be like a diamond. Like I'm thinking you go through perseverance and then you come out at the end. Like that makes you so strong because you came out. It's like you got to deal with all the tribulations, you know what I mean? Trials and tribulations. But then when you push through it and come out at the end, it's like it makes you really, really strong dealing with that stuff, I'd assume.
It can. I'm sure some people are struggling with it right now as we speak, because it can. But it can also make you very angry, very bitter.
Yeah.
Why did I live? Why am I living? It would have been, honestly, for so many years, it made more sense if I had passed away, much more sense than to see what I see and being 10 steps behind. You know, that was the anger behind it. It's like, I didn't make a mistake, but yet.
You got penalized due to no fault of your own.
Right. So, you know, yeah, you could be a rock, but I'll be honest with you. My first was being very bitter, very angry. I did a great job of disguising it, you know, but it eats you up, you know, because, you know, you inside, because you are disguising it, you are hiding it, but it does eat you up. It eats you up, and you have to learn how to, you know, really find out what faith really is. And sometimes those answers are tough. And then you get to the point where, you know, you roll your sleeves up, man, and you go to work and you fall back on those fundamentals. And it's like, you know what? Yes, it all is taken away. But at the end of the day, I still got those fundamentals that I told you about. I can still navigate those 5 phases better than anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, I want to make sure we talk about that kind of stuff too. Because so you went through all this stuff, and then now you're actually helping other people in the real estate space, right?
Right. You know, I was doing it before I got sick. It was called the Landlord Academy at the time. And so I was selling that thing out of the trunk of my car. I would go to RIAs and speak and teach. So I was helping even way before the brain tumor. But I fell back on those fundamentals. You know, once I came back, it was those fundamentals and still those fundamentals today that, you know, allowed me to do what I'm doing today, you know, which was build myself back. And then, of course, you know, I documented. I did a big deal in downtown St. Pete and documented every day of the acquisition. That, you know, we purchased an apartment building in downtown St. Pete, and I would film every single day because I wanted people to see this comeback. So I documented when I was learning how to walk and talk again. I took photographs. They even took a picture when they were removing it, because in 2014, I finally got someone that said, "Yo, I'll remove it." They mapped my brain. I was awake while they were removing it so they can see how far they paralyzed me. In 2014, they removed it. That's when I had to learn how to get my motor skills back and walk and talk again. That happened in 2014, and then I just went to work, man, and, you know, it took 4 or 5 years, and then as I've come back these last 2 years is where I said, okay, I'm going to stick a flag in the ground, and I'm going to build a membership platform, you know, Buy It, Rent, and Profit Education. I renamed everything from Landlord Academy to Buy It, Rent, and Profit Education because my book still did well while I was sick, and people knew my book. They didn't know who I was, but they knew that book. In fact, there's that guy, Graham Stevens, you know, which kind of led me to make the change. I was watching some videos of him because he had that Netflix show, and he might still have it. I don't know if you know who Graham, I'm saying his name right, Graham Stephan, Graham, whatever. He's one of those big influencers in real estate. But anyway, he said my book was the book that got him started. And so I realized that book was really, but no one knew who I was. So I knew that book was important. So I repositioned everything, renamed it, called it Buy and Rent Profit Education. Just started doing masterminds. And then I was like, hey, listen, I wanted to focus on those three areas: on-demand training, a better sense of community, and a workstation where people can manage their property, analyze their deals, access all the forms and documents and templates. And so I just built this membership site. And that's what I focused on the past 2 years. And then I just pushed that to, you know, the housing authorities that I work with their landlords. And then a lot of, you know, we provide, I've always provided education and training for real estate schools. So I write a lot of the curriculum. So I just, you know, I just doubled down on that. And so Buy It, Rent, and Profit Education began, you know, writing the curriculum for real estate schools. And I would just take that curriculum versus just white labeling it to real estate schools. I kept it this time and built this platform where everyone should be able to access that training and education, not just licensed real estate professionals. And that's kind of the education content behind, you know, so I've always done education. I've always provided and created content. And so you just double down on what I knew and what I felt like I did best. And, you know, still, obviously, the fundamentals are still needed more than ever. And so it makes you relevant automatically when you have those fundamentals. It's like being a great shooter in basketball or a great putter in golf or a great ball striker. You know, at the end of the day, man, you know, it's, you know, those guys that are great ball strikers, you know, they're going to make cuts. They're going to be around on Sunday, you know, and if they can even remotely put together a halfway decent putting exhibition, then, you know, they're going to be on the top of the leaderboard. So that's kind of how fundamentals in real estate are. Is if you're a great ball striker or a great punter, you're going to be there. You're going to be relevant. And that's the key.
Yeah. And you know what I like too? It's because, like, a lot of the course guys, we were talking about this earlier, a lot of guys selling courses show you how to get the deal, and then that's it.
There it is.
You're good showing luck. People how to get it, and then get your hands dirty and show them how to actually manage it and run a business versus just acquiring properties and tossing it over to a property manager and crossing your fingers that they're going to do a good job for you.
Correct. Exactly. The operations is key. You know, I'm not saying you don't have to, but you've got to know about it. You don't want to. You know, you never want to get involved in this industry and not understand the operational side when you're raising money. You know, like, people should. And even as a passive investor, your passive investing listeners should know, hey, listen, you got to ask these questions. You know, I want to know, what is your management plan? Just don't send me the offering memorandum with the pretty pictures and the pro forma. I want to know what write me a junior management plan. Show me, like, what the perceived operating budget is going to look like. Show me the you know, what operations will look like day one, how we're going to get there. Because an IRR can show you a return, right? An IRR is showing you, it's based on time. An IRR is a measure of time, really. Okay. So if I go into rehab units and I tell you I'm going to give you a 20% or 18% IRR, right? And I'm going to do a value add play. And in 9 months, a year, we're going to reach an 18% IRR in year one, year two, whatever, right? You know, those numbers don't mean, don't focus on that. Focus on what I'm about to say here. When I get in there and I start rehabbing, if I have anticipated that it's going to only take 3 weeks, 2 months, whatever the rehab time is per unit, and let's say it's 3 weeks, but it takes me 5 weeks, or I say it's one lease term, the payback period is one lease term, but it takes me three lease terms, then you've affected the IRR, because IRR is a measure of time. Efficiency, should I say. Efficiency. Not so much time, but, you know, obviously I don't want to get too in the weeds, but, you know, net present value, understanding what, you know, discounting, you know, future cash. When you look at IRR, it's about efficiency. So the less efficient you are, the less I'm going to be able to produce that 18% IRR that I promised. So if a project takes me from 3 weeks and it takes me 9 weeks, I'm less efficient.
Yep.
Which means that IRR is going to be affected. And that's what you're going to see. And that's what you have seen, where a lot of people are not giving the dividends that they were promised on those pretty returns because they're not efficient in their operations. And they're not efficient in managing and operating the property. So therefore, the IRR is affected. Now, we may, you know, absolve ourselves from all those mistakes, right? We might be made whole and clean after we sell it because it appreciated in value. So we can, but we never gave those returns. We're giving everybody their money at when it sold. That wasn't the intent. So, you know, the intent was to get that 18% IRR on a quarterly or monthly basis or whatever you promised on those cash on cash returns, you know, but when you're less efficient, you're going to weaken the position of the IRR. So, this is a game of efficiency. And yeah, man, a lot of people they lose sight of that. They lose sight of the fundamentals, which, you know, really dictate, you know, how efficient you're going to be, you know, through the life of the project, through the cycle.
Let me ask you this. What's the best way for people to connect with you if they want to see if it's a fit, like getting into your membership and connecting? Like, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Yeah, man. So I have over a year. I put in $50,000 at the least of free content. So that platform, you can go in, put your email in, and have nothing to do with me and just see if it's a fit by the content that I give you. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to sell you anything. I'm just going to give you content, because you're going to say when you go there, it's going to say, are you a beginner? Are you a licensed real estate professional? Are you experienced? Based on what you tell it, it's going to send you a series over the next three type of series. It's going to send you what we call our fast track guides. It's going to send you case studies. And then it's going to send you skill builder workbooks based on what you tell it, licensed, beginner, or experienced. And so you're going to get that for free. And you're going to be able to, some of the workbooks will point to free courses that are on the site. So you'll be able to look at that workbook or that case study. And that case study will say, hey, look, you can analyze this deal, because it'll be a case study of a 40 unit. And then it will tell you to go analyze this 40 unit on the deal analyzer on the platform. So you're learning if you're that beginner. If you're more skilled, it's going to say put together a management plan for that 40 unit. And then you got to put together a management plan, so you're always working on your skills. But that's for free. You can do all that and interact with the site, man, and not even see me. Not even be bothered.
What's the website?
BRP stands for the book, Buy It, Rent It, Profit. EDU for education.com. So BRPEDU.com. $9.99 a month for the full membership and access to everything. $9.99 a month. And I promise you, you're going to get more than anything you would get in any franchise that you'd pay $100,000 for. I'm just asking for your Starbucks budget, your daily Starbucks budget once a month.
Yeah, it is pretty cheap. And you know, the funny thing is too, people like, it's like, it's $9. It's like, oh, it must not have that much value. And in your case, it's like, it's funny too, because you're giving so much value, because you're like being genuine. You're truly trying to help people. It's like $9.99. You can go in and get all this information from you for like, yeah, less than you're talking about one cup of coffee. You know what I mean? So anyone listening, like seriously, one cup of coffee, go check it out. We'll have the link in the show notes too.
Yeah. So my thing is, yeah, try me. I promise you'll never look at it the same. You'll never look at education the same. And people will ask, well, how can you do that? Because I can do that. Number one, that was my mission. to do that. That's my calling to do that, is to level the playing field. And if you do it right, people are like, oh man, how can you give this stuff away for free? Well, I ask you, how does Facebook do it? How much do you pay for Facebook? But they're evaluated at 50 some odd billion or whatever they're evaluated at, right? So I can build wealth and not have to do it off the backs of individuals. I don't have to charge $30,000 for a mastermind or $20,000. That's ridiculous. I want you to take that money and go buy your first daggone duplex with that. Don't give it to me. Go buy your first duplex with it. You know, you give me what you feel like I'm worth, and I'll take that Starbucks cup of coffee, and you'll tell your friend and your friend, and I'll make my money off the volume off of the community. And so, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's and all those guys will come and want to be a sponsor of the platform. I'll get my money there off of them, but I won't have to get my money off the backs of the individuals, because that's just not there's just too much of that going on. And if you're really good, brother, then you will do well at that $9. You will do well at those price points if you're making it affordable and truly accessible for everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, everyone check it out. It's going to be in the show notes. Hey, Brian, hey, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, Brian. I really enjoyed this, man. You're awesome, brother.
Hey, likewise. Thanks, man. Hey, and everyone, thanks for listening. Until next time there, get out there, crush it, close some deals. We'll see you guys.
See ya.